This is a Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at talkingdigital.org.
All right. And if it gets too warm in here, you can shut that heater off.
And since I'm all about the Google search results.
Yeah.
And they've redone their...
They've
redone their algorithm.
Yeah.
I know one thing that's hitting Google a lot this week is Charlie Sheen. So I thought I would talk about how much we get per episode of... the Castellini on Computers podcast.
Okay, go for it.
And Charlie Sheen's getting, I think from what I heard on the radio, he gets $2 million an episode.
Yeah,
for
2.5 Men.
2.5 Men.
Right.
He wants $4.5 million.
Well.
Per episode.
Sure, yeah.
So if he does that, he'll supplant both you and I.
Oh, yeah.
As the highest paid talent per episode.
Right.
So, you know, you come in at about three and three quarter million.
That's true.
Per episode.
Right.
I get 3.5. I don't know how that's working out. I mean, even though you got the producer after your name, I still think I should get more than you.
Well, I think that's fair.
But I'm hoping that they don't give Charlie more than 3.5 because then he won't supplant you and I.
Right. I got you. Yeah, that's true. Now, except for the fact that he's talking about American dollars.
Okay.
And we're not necessarily talking about American dollars for our income. So.
We're talking about neurons used.
Something.
or brain cells killed every time we do one of these.
Something, yeah. It's.
I wish it was dollars. I wish it was even a tenth of that.
Or even a hundredth
of that.
Yeah, if we got $5 an episode, we'd be doing all
that
right.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Podcast with Rick and Adam. We just call it all kinds of things. We're just going to call it the Podcast with Rick and Adam.
That works.
In fact, today, as I was sitting, making my coffee and eating breakfast, waiting to come up here, I was thinking kind of something clever. I don't know if I should say this. Maybe you should mute it. But
I can edit it out if it's
I thought about
bad.
Some clever things about trying to capitalize on what we do.
Right.
And I thought about two different things. I thought about Radam for, you know, just kind of a... like a,
okay,
a real short thing.
Yeah.
Or Attic, A-D-I-C-K.
Ah.
Now that's, well, that wouldn't look good on your, that wouldn't look good on your domain
name.
Yeah,
that's right. I don't know.
But I was thinking like addict.
Oh, that's sure.
Attic, you know, but.
Yep.
Well, but you don't have two D's in your name.
No, I don't. Not this time. No. We'll have to come up with something.
But I just was, I don't know, I was kind of thinking about something short and catchy.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of...
easier to spell than Castellini.
And easier than Help Me, Rick.
Yeah. How could you get easier than that?
I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. My name is Rick Castellini.
Have you checked Yo Rick?
Yo Rick?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
That might be available.
Yo
That's
Rick.
That's easy to spell.
Yeah, but... You can find me at helpmerick.com and on Twitter.
I wouldn't do Hey Rick because then people will do H-A-Y instead of H-E-Y, and that wouldn't work either.
All right. And who are you?
I am Adam Cochran with fighting a cold a little bit. Can you tell I'm a little bit stuffy here, but doing all right. But Adam Cochran, you'll find me at talkingdigital.org, and I'm also at Talking Digital on Twitter.
Okay, and I'm going to jump in. We didn't talk about this during the production meeting.
Okay, go for it. But I'm ready. Anything you throw at me, I can handle.
But I would prefer this not to be an iPad 2 show.
Sure, okay.
Because you and I could easily do that.
Oh, yeah. No, I got you.
We're both excited about the iPad 2.
Totally fair.
But I do have a question for you I want to throw at you right away. I'm interviewing Adam. On February 28th, Adam wrote on Twitter... he predicts, and this is, I want to quote, I predict that in less than 2 years, the only posts on Twitter will be from social media experts who refuse to admit the fad is over.
Right.
Justify your...
Okay.
Justify your...
Well, first of all, let me say this. I'm not saying that people, I'm not saying that social media will be dead. I just think it will be such a standard that mm-hmm. it won't be worth talking about anymore. Like, what are you doing on social media? And people will be like,
so it'll be like email.
It'll be like email. Yeah. Okay. Talk about, you know, it'd be like a whole bunch of people telling you how to make $1 million doing email. You know, it is a worthy topic, and there have to be a few experts out there about direct mailing and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, as I watch Twitter, I'm starting to see the old people I used to follow a lot that used to have some good information and all of that. Mm-hmm. They're starting to disappear. They're really? Still on Facebook. I'm finding a lot of them on Facebook and stuff like that. But on Twitter, they're not posting as often as they used to. I'm not finding quite as many links. Even stuff like who's the guy who just goes nuts, posts stuff all the time. There's two of them, like Guy Kawasaki and Chris Perillo. Those guys are just always posting stuff.
Uh-huh.
I think their content has gone down a little bit
uh-huh.
because I think it's not, for one, it's not as interesting. It's not bringing in as many people. But I've seen a huge increase in the number of people out there saying, how do you get more people following you on Twitter? How do you get to use the social media to get success? Use social media and real estate. And I'm just starting to see more garbage like that show up. And it could be the people that I'm following, but I used to have a pretty good Twitter stream that always had some interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to read through tons of pitches. Mm-hmm. How to use social media for this and that.
Now, do you unfollow those people?
I think it's a dead topic.
Do you unfollow those people?
No, I still watch it because I'm really curious how that, because I use that thread to kind of gauge as a good sample
oh, okay.
of what's happening on Twitter as a whole.
What the, and, where the heat is.
Right, right. So I have my main thread. I have a good sample of stuff. I have celebrity stuff and I have news and I have.
Are you following Charlie Sheen? He just started tweeting.
Yeah, I noticed that, but I haven't started following him, no.
He was adding, as of yesterday, 2,500 people a minute. To his Twitter stream.
Wow. He is really, you know, this has been a good thing for him, I think.
You think so?
Have you noticed he's on every single show? He's fired all his people, and now he's showing up. Did you see?
Fired all his people?
Well, didn't he fire a bunch of people?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Anyway. I just threw it in there strictly for the ratings.
He's kind of become a lone gun, I think, and I don't know why we're talking about him,
it's for ratings.
Yeah, lone wolf.
I'm hoping that you'll put Charlie Sheen in the podcast description.
Oh yeah, I'll put Charlie Sheen in the podcast
description. And in the title
and a hashtag.
Then a hashtag. That way we can get seen a little bit.
Yeah,
we'll get some
more seen. Yeah, sure.
That's what it's all about.
We should do all celebrity tech.
Hey, well, and I appreciate your information. I was a little late probably coming to Twitter. I enjoy Twitter more than I do Facebook. We've been on Facebook for our show.
Right.
Since before Facebook was as popular as it is today.
Yeah.
And to this day, that's really all I use it for.
Yeah.
I tried using it in the social aspect, and to me it is so shallow. That
you
it
mean
just,
Twitter?
No, Facebook.
Oh, Facebook. Oh, yeah.
Facebook to me is so shallow.
If you look at my Facebook
like
stream now, and I've showed this to my students when mm-hmm. I'm teaching them lately, my Facebook stream looks more like what my old Twitter stream used to look like. It has news feeds. It has all these things I used to follow.
So now you're using
Twitter.
It.
I'm using it
similar.
Yeah, but it has that. It has that little bit of convergence there because I do use it to keep track of people too, and mm-hmm. I send messages back and forth. It's replaced a lot of my email, and has replaced a lot of my Twitter. But I'm not saying it's killing off Twitter at all. I still use it, but
I do have to say, and I may do it myself. But there was an article in Wired.
Uh-huh.
That's not the only thing I read.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I read that has a lot of relevance to my life.
Yeah, right. I
gotcha. But there was an article about the guy wanting Facebook to do what he called the great reboot of Facebook. Or no, the great friend redo, I guess we call it. And what he was talking about is that when Facebook first arrived on the scene in a big way a few years ago, people just started adding just about everyone as a quote-unquote friend.
It was all
friend.
About how many friends you had, yeah.
Right, and so what he mentioned was that he looks through his friend feed today and wondering how in the world he ever added some of the people.
Right.
So his idea is now that, like you're just mentioning, that it's evolving into a different animal.
Yep.
That he would love on July 4th of this year for Facebook to offer to reset everybody's account to zero.
Ooh, that would be cool.
And then let you rethink about who you add back. He said it would automatically give you the option to re-invite everybody back.
Right.
But in that re-invite, you could uncheck the people you don't want to invite.
No, I clean out my my friends list all the time.
Well, and that's what I was thinking. You don't need Facebook to do that.
Yeah.
If you really want to do it, just unfriend people.
Right.
And I think in a lot of cases, people would never notice.
Yeah.
They would never notice.
Yep.
Because my own personal experiment is they don't notice if you're off temporarily.
Right.
And so if you just drop them from your feed list, friend list. I hate to say it friend list. I'm going to call it feed list.
Whatever you want to call it, yeah.
But anyway, it was an interesting article.
But you're right. I mean, what I do is I will put out a post and I will say going through a mass chopping of
You've seen me say that.
So I'll do that.
And I'm glad I've survived those.
I'll cut 20 to 50. Yeah, usually. I'll cut 20 to 50 people at a shot. Just have them gone. Sometimes I pick a theme.
Do you hear people back?
Once in a while, somebody will send an invite back to me and I'll accept it. If it's somebody that I really do know.
Uh-huh.
but for the most part, I don't want all that dead weight. You know, people followed me around, not contributing. You know, all of that. So, yeah, I chopped them out. The other day I went through and chopped everybody under 18, unless they were my kids or
a
relative.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I went and did that. So, I still have my students now. Some people say you shouldn't have your students as friends on Facebook.
But
I haven't figured out a good reason why not.
How often do they ask you?
I never ask them, but they ask me. I probably get out of every class of 20 people, I usually get 3 or 4 that want to be friends on Facebook, and that's cool. And I think it's a good thing for them as students to be able to see how Facebook is being used. And I put up a lot of links and
see
stuff
an old
like
guy's
that.
Facebook
yeah, see
feed.
An old guy's Facebook feed. Yeah, sure. So that's, you know, I don't mind that, especially since I teach college. If I taught high school, it wouldn't happen. But
okay, switching gears just a little bit on the web creation front.
Yes.
Since you and I met last time, WordPress came out with 3.1.
Right.
What'd you think?
You know what? I haven't even played with it.
Haven't played with it much?
I mean, I've posted content, but I haven't even looked at the new features at all.
Well, Drupal's coming out with their new also.
Right.
And again, Drupal continues to impress me. They make some really great websites.
Yeah. If I was a geek, I'd do Drupal.
That's right. But there's the ease at which we can upgrade all of the stuff in WordPress is just amazing. And they did ask, this is a little bit of a geek thing here, but they did add on WordPress a neat little, and I don't think this was in there before, but there's a neat little tool, and it's called, let me see if I can figure, it's what it's a, an ET box, extra, I don't know what T stands.
That is new. I haven't seen that.
But if you go to our last podcast.
Okay.
On our website at helpmerick.com. In fact, I can show Adam, and for those of you that have your webcams on at this moment, you'll be able to see me show Adam do this, and it's got to be one of those magic webcams. But
yeah,
but it's pretty neat because it gives you a little.
It'll only work if you have an iPhone 4 with a webcam in it right now. So
okay, or if you have an early release of the iPad 2, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay, here if you go to the website, helpmerick.com,
puts this neat little blue button.
Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
And then you click that, and you can either open up to give you more information, or as what I did in this case, I made it a link.
Yeah.
That's a very nice, I mean, I couldn't design that.
No way.
And I'd probably have to do about 20 hours of Drupal coding to do that.
Yeah.
But
that's very cool.
Yeah, but it's pretty neat. So that's that ET box. So when you work on your website next time, check that out.
Cool. Yeah, that's what I found is that, you know, with the experience we've had.
Oh, it does add this. If you're logged in to your cPanel.
I did that. I didn't know. I thought that was my theme that was letting me do that.
Yeah, no, that's the 3.1.
3.1. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Linking. You can link within your website much easier.
Oh, cool.
You when you put on a link, it'll actually bring up a search box in the link thing.
Good.
To search your own links.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's really nice.
Yeah.
A couple of nice things.
You know, WordPress is fantastic in bringing this to everybody who's listening, whether you're a geek or not.
Or off the webcam now.
I think is going to have another, what would we call
push.
It? Another wave of bloggers. And I think it's taken a long time to catch on, but I'm starting to see people use it the way you and I used to talk about it. We used to help, I always like to call them old people, seniors. we used to help seniors set up blogs so they could keep their family informed as to what they were doing.
Or clubs
or anything like that. Yeah. And I think we were pushing for that.
You've done a few
that.
Neighborhood associations.
Yeah, yeah. I think you, you and I were pushing that a long time ago and helping people with that a long time ago. But
when really the only usable tool was Blogger.
Right. And now I'm starting to see people come out and have that be their idea instead of my idea. Instead of me telling, oh, you need to create a blog to do this. They're coming to us, and they're coming to me, and they're saying, do you know how I can put together a blog that will let me do such and such? And mm-hmm. which is cool, because people are starting to grasp that concept. And I think the mommy bloggers are a big part of that,
right.
They've made people aware of blogging.
The mommies can do it.
If the mommies can do it, anybody can do it. But you're seeing it a lot. Like the people running across the country that are making blogs, or
politicians are doing it.
If politicians can do it, anybody
can
do it.
That's really, truly the thing.
Yeah. At least if politicians' interns can do it, anybody can do it, I guess. But
that you and I are paying for. Okay.
That's
boy,
right.
We managed to work that in every time.
What's that?
Just a little slant there. Kind of.
On politicians?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We always manage to get that in.
Yep.
Okay, you know what we're going to do real quick before we talk about the iPad, too? Because I would like to talk about tablets in general.
I'll talk about anything. Go for it.
But I'm going to answer a few emails.
Sure.
And I'm going to go from oldest to newest here, unless I see a really interesting place or name. And this is from Stefan in the United States. He wrote way back in December. Now, had Stefan ponied up even a dollar, he would have had his question answered within a week.
Oh, yeah.
But here it is, March the 2nd, and he wrote on December 28th.
I'm on fire. Do you know how to put
it out? That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
He wants to... he's noticed that we have download links. Oh, well, see, no wonder I haven't asked him.
Yeah, because he's a spammer.
He's a spammer.
Darn you, spammer.
He wants to... he wants me to list his driver website.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We actually did answer that one last week.
Did we? I just didn't delete it.
Yeah.
Darn it. Well, I'm glad.
We didn't answer it, actually. We said the same thing. Spammer.
Let's do Bill.
Okay.
Okay. Bill is currently using AOL, and he plays a lot of Texas Hold'em poker.
Oh, yeah.
When he tries to download the site for the past 2 days, everything seems normal. Until I get a loading art notice and everything stops. I have run disk cleaning. I've updated my Java and nothing seems to help. You have assisted me in the past, including a couple of visits, and I have gladly paid for your services and have also donated to your site. I would be more than happy to mail you a check, but I no longer use PayPal since receiving a phishing email verified by PayPal. Let me know how much you require. Oh, he wants to pay. It's just from January 1st, though. So maybe he's lost a lot of Texas Hold'em hands by now or hasn't been able to play.
Yeah.
But Bill, bottom line is, it sounds like since he said he's using AOL, he's probably still using the AOL browser.
Probably.
And probably the number one thing, he is using Windows XP. The number one thing to do is get off of the AOL browser for especially these kinds of things.
Yep.
And make sure you're using a minimum of Internet Explorer 7. If that's what you're using,
right.
Or preferably, I think you're going to have a better gaming experience in Firefox.
Yep.
So download, go to mozilla.com or firefox.com, and you can download Firefox.
So what you'd do there is you would download Firefox just to firefox.com and then install it.
Mm-hmm.
And then to make things easiest and less, there's lots of ways of doing this, but just to make it easier on you, click on your AOL icon, let it do its thing, and then minimize it. Then open Firefox and go to the thing that you want to go to.
That's asking a lot.
No, do you know what? If you just say go straight to Firefox, then
where's the minimize button?
The minimize button.
Yeah,
the little. I think he probably can know that. I think he'd know that. No, the little button up in the far right corner, it looks like a bar, a little minus sign.
Adam, you've been out of it too long.
You think so?
You must.
I don't know.
Oh, you're working with a generation that...
I'm working with a generation who knows what the minimize button is. That's my problem.
Yeah.
Darn it. You know, it's amazing how quickly you forget.
All right. This next question is from User. He's from BD, wherever that is.
Oh, that's British Columbia.
Okay. And he wants to know how to connect a DVD burner.
Okay.
And you can connect it very easily if it's an external DVD burner with a USB cable.
Right.
But I'm assuming that he has what has prompted him to ask this, maybe, is that he's seen how to install a DVD at helpmerick.com.
Right.
But maybe he's not, because otherwise he wouldn't be answering the question.
Right.
Because it's very visually in a video with good explanation, right, shows you how to do it.
And burners are the same as readers and writers.
Now, I will say that my installing a hard drive and DVD videos were made when IDE cables, right, were more the standard.
But that makes it even easier now because you don't have to worry about jumpers or
that's
anything.
Right. Yep. But otherwise, it's still the same thing. Two cables. You have a, yep, power cable, and you have a ATA serial, yep, cable. No,
serial ATA.
Yeah, that's serial, right, ATA cable.
SATA.
And SATA. There we go. SATA.
Yeah.
And it's like they're easier to connect.
Right.
You don't have to line up the little,
yeah,
angles.
If they
on
don't
the
plug
power
in, it's because you have the cord upside down. Just turn it over and it works fine.
That's so, right. So that's, yep, how you do it. Maybe someday I'll update that particular. This could be from your son.
Could be.
Dear Mr. Rick, it's from Joel in Grand Junction using, ooh, Windows 2000. Do you still have your son? Do you still have your son using Windows 2000?
No way.
My iTunes is on the fritz.
Oh, man.
Every time I go to play a song, a notice flashes up saying the song cannot be played because it could not be found. Would you like to locate it? But when I try to locate it, I get lost in the mazes of the digital world and become sad.
Yes.
I love that.
He becomes sad. He can just tears up.
What's happening, you're in iTunes and it says it can't find your file.
Uh-huh.
It sounds to me as either... Especially if you get lost in the digital world,
uh-huh,
you either accidentally deleted your music,
right,
or maybe you went in and you thought you were cleaning things up and you moved your music,
right,
somewhere,
right,
and so therefore when you go to play it, iTunes thinks it's in one location, but,
right,
it really is in another.
Right,
the location where iTunes likes to see your music is in the My Music folder
in My Documents.
In My Documents for 2000,
right,
or XP.
Right.
And then it's in another subfolder called iTunes, and then yet another subfolder usually called Media or,
right,
Music.
Right.
So that's where it needs to be. You're going to have to look for it. And unfortunately, if you get lost in the digital and become sad, there are there are ways to become happy and be more fulfilled, and that's call your local computer guy.
Yeah.
And they can help you,
yeah,
out.
Yeah. One thing you might try is just to go into search, go to, I forget where it's at in 2000. Start, where is search or find in Windows 2000?
It just go to start.
Is it just start and find?
Find.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Start, mm-hmm, and find, mm-hmm, in Windows 2000. And then just type in a part of the song name. See if you can find one song. And that will probably show you the folder or directory where the rest of your songs are too. Probably. But who knows?
Here's a really terrible spammer.
Oh, good.
He said they would like to put an article on our website that links back to their website.
Oh, good.
And they would be prepared to compensate.
Oh, good.
But the spammer leaves no communication method for me to get
back to
them.
To him. Oh, well.
If I was to fall for their offer.
Interesting.
Okay, let's do one last question and we'll move on a little bit.
Okay.
Here is Joshua, and he has a small business server for 6 computers. Currently, everyone in the 6 computers has individual contacts and a company contacts in a shared folder. Sounds like they're using probably Outlook server.
Yep.
Or what do they call that?
Yeah, that's Outlook.
No,
yeah.
Isn't there another name for it?
Yeah, Exchange.
Exchange server.
There you go. Yep.
Currently, we see our own contacts, then click on the company contacts and see those separately. We want to be able to view our own contacts and the company contacts in the same view at the same time.
Yeah.
This way, we aren't tempted to create a duplicate of a contact. Is this possible? And how would this affect syncing our phones with our system? We don't necessarily need to sync all the contacts, perhaps just our... You can't do that. There is no way with Outlook and Exchange server to show two different groups. That's why it's a group.
Right.
In one view.
Right.
So
unless you put them all together. Anyway,
yeah, there's no way to do that.
Yep.
So,
and as far as syncing the phones, you wouldn't be able to pick and choose very easily which ones sync. It would sync everything. So you're pretty much stuck.
Yeah, the only thing I can see that would be an option, and I don't know what phone they have either, but as far as viewing all the contacts at one shot, is everybody would have to put everybody's contacts together.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And then you could, you know, if they were all on the server and we had Rick's contacts Adam's yep. contacts, Joshua's contacts, right. and everyone's contacts.
Right.
As a group, but a category.
Right.
Then you could view everybody.
Right.
But that gets really confusing.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay away.
I'm trying to think of a cloud-based system that might work like that. You know what? You know, I could... Well, you can't share... I wonder if you... Can you share contacts with Google Apps? I don't know that. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't know, Josh. That's the best I can
there
do for
go.
You. The best I can do is you can't do what you want to do without making it really ugly.
Exactly.
And you don't want to make it really
yeah.
ugly.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to switch back and forth. It's not that big of a deal to switch between your contacts and the other contacts. And if your employees are too lazy,
it's amazing
to switch over to the yeah. group contacts and do a quick search for a contact.
It's amazing what we go through to save one or two mouse clicks sometimes.
Exactly.
It's pretty amazing. But, you know, I do it too. But,
which brings me to a TED Talk.
Yes.
And if you have not experienced the world of TED Talks.
TED.com.
Is it just TED.com?
TED.com.
T-E-D.
Yeah.
No,
T-E-D.
Not even the two Ds. TED.com. What's the one you sent me? The one you sent me about the TED's Women Talk. And about the
cyborg?
No. Yeah, the cyborg, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very interesting, I thought, about, and because you kind of prompted the thought of that about the one or two clicks, trying to save one or two
right.
clicks, is that her little story about her father telling her the shortest distance between two points.
Right.
And then how she related it, that years later it came to her that cell phones and technology, and even regular phones for
right.
that matter, create that time, that little wormhole between
yeah.
time and distance.
Right.
Because at any point, at any given time, we have the ability to pick up a phone, pick up our computer, and make an instant connection anywhere in the world.
Right.
And
with
weird,
video if we want to.
And, the weird thing is we can now do that to the space shuttle and the space station.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, if you, when I kind of stop people in their tracks when they're looking to do something kind of really crazy like this to
yeah.
save that one or two clicks,
right,
I have to back them up a little bit and say, look what you are doing.
Yeah, that's
you know
right. No, you're right.
And
you're right.
And so that was a great little video.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good one.
Yeah,
but
I think the video is called we are all cyborgs now, I think.
You know, in fact, yeah. I don't know why I don't, but I'm gonna put the TED link as we speak at helpmerick.com because we talk about it often enough.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's,
TED is TED.
Have you
is
seen
incredible.
A bad TED presentation?
Oh, yes.
You
the
have?
One, the one from the lady who did Zipcars.
Uh-huh.
Like the CEO of Zipcar.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she did horrible. She did horrible. I mean, she just
Boy,
she
you
crashed
pulled,
and burned.
You
she
pulled was, that one out immediately.
Because it was because you know what stands out? Because usually when you watch a TED Talk,
yeah.
they're not Tony Robbins standing up there giving you a motivational
oh,
speech.
Right,
they
right.
are people who have achieved what they're talking about. They're
mm-hmm.
changing the world. These are real people. This isn't, you know, they're not motivational speakers. And they're so fascinating. And they brought the lady from Zipcar, the CEO of Zipcar, which is a rental car company that basically like a vending machine for rental cars that in big cities, where if you want to just rent a car for a few hours, you just put your credit card in, take the car,
mm-hmm.
drive it, anyway, take it to another Zipcar station.
Was hers 20 minutes like most of them are?
I don't remember how long hers was, but oh, it was so bad. And she just, the thing was, is she would get on, here's the problem, is she wasn't a good PowerPoint person. And so what she would do is she'd get ahead of herself.
Uh-huh.
And then she'd click her slides and it would take her back and cover some
oh.
of the stuff that she already talked about.
And she didn't realize she had done
so
that.
So what she would do is start talking about it all over again.
Oh.
Or it was really bad.
Could you feel the air coming out of the room?
Yeah. It's you felt sorry for her, but it was so bad. It was a very unrehearsed or over-rehearsed, one of the two.
Which is
lecture.
Unlike the gentleman I sent you last night, the
right.
Former Mexican diplomat.
Yeah.
To me, that was one of the best I've seen.
Yeah.
He was not only a superb presenter.
Right.
But I thought that his topic was very interesting.
Yeah.
And
that's what you find. That's mostly what you'll find.
Right.
The Ken Robinson talk on how schools are killing creativity. That's a classic. I mean, you'll see it everywhere. And there's... You know, there's a lot of them there. They're people who really know what they're talking about.
The link is now there at helpmerick.com.
Good.
Because it's a hard link to remember.
Yeah.
TED.com.
Yeah, it is.
So there's another link bait there for
it. Stands for technology, education, and design. Just so you know.
Now, do you try to do a TED Talk each time you lecture at Mesa?
I always keep it in mind.
Do you?
I always try to think, well, yeah. I mean,
I say if I was at TED?
I don't necessarily think of it that way, but I think, is what I'm saying worth saying?
Yeah.
And if it's not, I don't, you know, I try to leave it out of my lecture. I'm not trying to, you know.
Just fill time.
You don't get a spiel from me. No. Right. If I run out of, I mean, if I have plenty of time left and I've said everything I want to say, I let it in. But cool. But I always keep that in mind. I think TED is so cool because you learn something every time you watch
Absolutely.
It. Even from the Zipcar lady, there's something to learn.
It is true. And that's the way you should approach anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
All right. We've done it. We've done a good job of really avoiding the news of the day.
Right.
Which is, I'm sure, I haven't gone on to news.google yet, but I'm sure it's dominated there, is the iPad 2.
Right.
Again, since what, October?
Yeah.
We've been hearing about
iPad 2.
iPad 2.
Pretty much since March of last year.
Yep. Now, are you really surprised they did not put an SD card in it?
No.
Okay.
Are you?
No.
I'm not.
They just tend not to.
I never would bet on that. They don't want removable media. That opens up
They doors. Have an adapter now.
Right, but it's not the same kind of adapter, though. It's for digital. Isn't it kind of regulated? I mean, can you bring any file from an SD card?
Oh, well, I don't know that.
See, I don't think you can bring any file from an SD card to your computer.
It's just for
pictures.
For photos, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but which is what most people would want it for.
Right, exactly. Right. But what about Word documents? What about PowerPoint presentation? Right now, getting a document from your computer to your iPad
is tough.
Means syncing it with iTunes.
Right.
Or
Dropbox. Can you do a Dropbox?
Yeah, you can do a Dropbox.
Yeah.
But the problem is you still it's just annoying that you can't just take a file, move it over.
My thought is that with their new MacBook Airs,
right,
which the bigger one does have an SD card,
uh-huh.
but neither have a CD or DVD drive.
Right.
And also now with the iPad last year and the new iPad this year, not having the SD card, and is what you're mentioning, getting tougher and tougher to get documents or files. My thought is that they are maybe working on something with maybe not Lion, the next version of the big Apple OS, but maybe the next one. Maybe they're moving, like a lot of people are, everything to the cloud.
Yeah, and that would I understand.
And they're just
that.
Kind of talking about the future.
But the problem is Apple's cloud is MobileMe, and that costs $100 a year. So they'll have to change something about that.
Right.
Who knows? I don't know.
I thought one of the neatest. Well, first of all, it did need to be a little thinner. I like the fact that they made it a little lighter.
Yep, a third lighter. So
right. So that's fairly significant.
Yeah,
I think.
Is.
Obviously, the camera's a big deal.
Right.
Everybody
made a big deal of the front-facing camera, which is for FaceTime, which is for being able to communicate. But really, the rear-facing camera, I think, is really the cool thing because, you know, it's easier to hold up your cell phone and record a video if you want to.
Right.
But my iPad is always right there when there's something going on, and it's not that hard to use it. It is big, but it's funny how accessible it is and how you have it out there.
But it'll kind of remind me of the old VHS recorders.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're holding up this large device.
So the great big ones, yeah.
Exactly. Although at the same time, it's going to, I think, make for a lot more incognito videos again.
Yes.
Because when phones first came out with cameras and stuff, not everyone had that. And so it was a little bit incognito and people could create more on the fly kind of things.
Right.
But now you can be sitting on the subway or in an office meeting looking like you're reading the daily.
Right.
When in reality you're recording the video.
Yeah.
So
my daughter has an app on her Android. I haven't downloaded it yet that lets you actually use the camera without having the camera show up on your screen.
Ah.
That's a cool app.
Yeah.
So, a lot of incognito stuff.
That's kind of interesting. Now the thing I thought that was again innovative for me is the cover.
Yes.
I liked the cover.
Darn it, I didn't want to either. And then I saw the video. And then I thought, darn it, I like it.
Yeah, it's a neat little, it's innovative. It's kind of like a little robot in a way because it does different things.
Yeah.
You can have it sit up as more of a so it's more comfortable right. for typing on and viewing.
It does all the same stuff that all the other iPad cases do, mm-hmm. except for it does it in such a weird way.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a nifty little deal. Now, I'm assuming that because of the way it attaches and it's a magnet, that third parties would be able to expand on that.
I would hope so.
Don't you think?
Unless it's patented or something. Where
I don't think you can.
It.
Right?
Don't
I
think
mean,
so?
It's kind of like, in a way, it's kind of like a license plate cover. You know, if you have the same two screw holes, you
well, it's
can
not
design.
A screw, though.
Well, it's a magnet, but it's at a certain.
Right.
It's not in a proprietary space. You can attach a magnet to it.
No.
Right?
Yeah. It's possible. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be I think people are going to figure out some cool things to do with it.
I hope so.
So, yeah. It is going to come in white.
That was stupid. What do you think about that? What were they thinking? I mean, there must be some
what
segment
is it
of the
with
population that wants white.
They do. They love the white. I mean, think about the iPod. iPhone.
Yeah.
The white iPhone is like the white rhino. It's like if you have one of those, it's very valuable.
Yeah.
And it's strange. I don't understand it.
I don't get it either.
I like the aluminium. Sense. To me, if it was full aluminium, I'd be fine.
There you go. That's the way to do it. But I like the, I don't know. I'm getting the black one. And the thing with me with the iPad is you use it so much for video and so much for photos that you don't want a white bezel around it. Black is really the thing that makes your colors pop and the contrast pop on a picture.
Right.
White doesn't do that. It actually does the opposite. So I was kind of surprised they went that route.
And they kept the bezel pretty much the same. Which I'm surprised they did.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they didn't give you a little more screen space by decreasing the bezel size.
Right.
But like you said, because it frames what you're looking at.
Right.
That really does help you concentrate on that thing, doesn't it?
Yep. I think a white case, you know, the white back would have been okay, but I don't know why they went with a white bezel. I think
it's because of just demand. People, for some reason,
I don't know,
want
makes
that
it look
white
Fisher Price.
I don't understand it either.
Fisher-Price makes fantastic toys, by the way. But,
well, the funny thing is the white with Apple is from the early part of the decade.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the early part of the last decade.
Yeah.
You know, here we are. We're in the second year of the second decade of this century, and people are still looking at the white iMac and stuff.
But to me, the white iPad, I can see the white other things that they've done, but the white iMac or the white iPad, to me, looks more like a white gateway computer. Do you remember the white gateway computers that were the all-in-ones that were made to look kind of like iMacs?
I'm trying to remember those.
They didn't have the luster of the iMac. They were white. They were the same color, and they were all-in-one. They even got sued for making them. But there was something about them. They were too angular or something, and that's kind of what the iPad reminds me of. It just looks bad.
Black is just classy.
It is.
Black looks
black
nice.
Black and silver, yeah. Can't go wrong there.
Well, anything else that was released? Again, they had the faster processor, the cameras.
Well, it lets you the cool things that we talked about this a little bit before the show. But the two things that really stood out to me made it a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Like I said, the camera is a big one with iMovie and GarageBand. That's really cool being able to do that stuff. I think this one is much more of a regular computer, you know, just in tablet form. But the other thing was that you can now hook it up to an HDMI port.
That was
port.
Big.
Yeah.
I like that.
And you can mirror what's on your screen. And so,
in any app.
Yeah. And anybody. Now, some other applications for teachers, this is a big deal because it means now you can demonstrate to your class how to do something on the iPad. But the other thing that's really cool about it.
Or use it as your presentation.
Right. The other thing that's very cool about it, though, is it now allows screen recording. So, you know, you can't record with the iPad itself.
Oh.
But you could take the iPad, hook it up
to a DVD
or something with an HDMI port.
Right.
You know, your VHS and record. Don't do it with your VHS.
It would look good.
But, you know, with your recorder, recordable device, DVR, whatever, anything that records with a HDMI input. And you could record that. And so I think we're going to see a whole lot more and better app reviews and YouTube videos showing, you know, tutorials on how to play a game or how to use stuff. I think it's going to really help a lot at the training. And I think it really going to help Apple in the long run that they did that, because now people are going to be able to create tutorials and videos about the apps and about the device itself that are much more friendly. I don't know what the word would be that, you know, people will be able to comprehend what the iPad is all about much easier.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's I think it's enough. And you've mentioned this in the past when we've talked about Apple, that they never or very rarely make huge jumps in their upgrades.
They never give you everything you want all at once.
It's all about the next upgrade.
Exactly.
The next upgrade.
Exactly. And they'll even go so far as to remove something from it. You know, they'll give
you make you think
everything
even harder.
You want. Yeah, they'll give you everything you want and say, oh, but we did take off the USB port, or we did. Yeah, we did.
I'm watching your news.
Yeah, so next time, you know, I'm really excited about the iPad 3. I hear it's going to have a Blu-ray burner, so that'll be cool.
Okay, now, one thing that happened.
That was a joke, by the way.
That's why I just scooted over.
Okay.
Another thing that has come up this past week since you and I met, this weekend, was that Gmail's having some problems.
Yes.
Small problems, a small percentage.
They had a hiccup.
They had a hiccup, but for a very small percentage of users.
Yeah, but it was a pretty bad hiccup.
Yeah, it was. It was a bad hiccup, no matter how many users. And as of today, as of right now, they are still saying that they're restoring users.
Wow.
They're expecting full resolution of all users in the near future.
It's good that they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically what they did is a small portion of people, they lost all the emails that came in during a certain segment of time.
Well, and lost, I think, is... I'm just reading their Google Mail...
It's similar to what happened to RIM at one point. You remember when the BlackBerry servers crashed and they lost a bunch of BlackBerry users' information? Mm-hmm. It's very similar to that. A lot of people unhappy with it. And that is one of the dangers of the cloud.
Have you been to the app status? You've been there.
No. Oh, yeah, I have been to that. Yeah, I have been to that. Yeah, well, they're still down then on their Gmail.
On parts of it. They're still talking about that. I think the big thing that is getting overlooked is, yes, this happened. It happened to... around 150,000 subscribers.
Right.
Or users.
Right.
Out of, I believe said there are a couple hundred million.
Oh, yeah.
People, Gmail users.
Yep.
So it isn't a large percentage.
Right.
But the thing that I think that that is getting overlooked in most of the stuff I'm reading is yes, it happened. Yes, it's terrible to have that happen, but they're getting it back.
Right.
They didn't lose it. It's not lost forever. As if you had an Outlook on your computer crashes, or your computer gets stolen.
Yep.
Your laptop gets stolen, then it's gone. That's lost.
Yeah.
This will get recovered. It's just very inconvenient for the time being.
Yep.
So I think that...
Because Google isn't just one place, if I have this right.
Right.
Google isn't just one place with all the computers with all the data.
Right.
This data is spread out all over the world, and when one hiccup happens in one place, it causes a disruption in every other set of computers, too. So they have to go and figure out where all the data is and bring it all together for each user. It is a big mess, and I'm glad I'm not working at Google. We're trying to straighten that one out.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad there's Well, they're the ones with the posters on the wall that we talked about in the last podcast.
Yeah.
They're looking at their posters as we speak to figure out where things went wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at our 10 things you need to know in tech. Just came in my email box. And Facebook poached a top Microsoft ad executive, and Steve Ballmer is so angry that he might sue.
Ah, go for it, Steve.
So that's in there. Ashton Kutcher's Twitter account was hacked at TED. Did you hear about that?
Oh, I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, that happened. There was a TED. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before.
Wow, what was he doing at TED?
Well, I don't know if he was there or just
somebody hacked him.
Yeah, happened to hack it.
Wow.
But I thought that was kind of interesting. And so now there's a lot of people think this is overdue anyways, that Twitter needs to go the way of Gmail and Facebook and have an HTTPS.
Right.
Be a default secure login.
Right.
So that gets...
I don't think that'll fix anything, but yeah.
Well, they say it does. I mean, that helps a ton.
Yeah.
It does help a ton. As far as I know, again, I don't have that poster on my wall. And then let's see, the one thing, HTC is outselling Nokia. That's no surprise.
That's really a news item.
That's a news item.
You've heard of what Nokia is doing, haven't you?
No.
I mean, Nokia basically came out and told their company, we don't have any, you know, they came out and they said, we'll let you know tomorrow what we're going to do with our company. The next day they came out and they said, we're going to adopt the Windows mobile platform. But we really don't. We we don't know if we can survive this. I mean, that's basically
they're flummoxed.
And they just can't. They're too late to the game. They've been betting so much on the Symbian operating system that they sell great, but every phone that they sell is a $70 candy bar phone and a few geek Symbian phones.
And the Symbian is really like Palm.
Yeah.
Used to be.
Exactly. Palm.
It was a great system for the time, but it just did not evolve fast enough.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Nokia said, we're for sale. And everybody said, no, we don't care. You know?
So, your name is so 90s. It's a 90s name.
Yeah, there's nothing there. It was just really sad because, you know, the da 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 da, you know, the sound ringtone, all that stuff. In fact, there's a great segment in the book I read called Biology, B-U-Y-ology. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how the Nokia ringtone actually has hurt them because people associate it with interrupted meetings.
Oh, wow. And
It's really interesting. So Nokia has a lot of problems.
I can, when I hear the word Nokia, I seriously have a ghost feeling of that. My first cell phone, which was a Nokia, in my hand.
Wow.
Because it had heft to it. It was a very, it was a very heavy phone. It had about a 3-inch little monochrome screen, but it was very cool. It did a lot of cool things.
I still think of Nokias as being battle phones. You know, the phone that you want to have with you if you're going to drop it and all that stuff. But I don't think features and innovation or anything like that.
But it is funny. Last thing that did come in on this particular email, the new Nintendo 3DS has Netflix and Wi-Fi.
Okay, cool. Wow, that's cool.
I guess they've all had Wi-Fi for a while.
They've all had Wi-Fi. But so, Netflix is kind of cool to put that on Nintendo.
Yeah.
So they've even beat Android to the game in that regard.
Can you not get Netflix on Android yet?
I think that has more to do with the carriers than it has to do with Android. I think it'd be real easy for them to implement it. But I don't think carriers want people watching movies on their phones.
So that's kind of interesting. So I'm glad that I'm hoping that my Gmail, it hasn't been one of the 150,000.
Yeah.
That'd be the kind of lottery
mine was
that
down
I would
for
win.
A while that day, I noticed.
But
I didn't notice anything being lost, but how would I? You know, I get so many emails, I have no idea what I actually see and what I don't.
All right, a couple more emails.
Okay.
This one's from Peter Simon in Blocken, whatever that is. Where can I find the free AVG download full version? There is no such thing. So that's...
Yeah.
If you're legal, there's no such thing.
The free AVG... Say that again?
He wants the full version for free. He wants the full
version. That's technically what you get in the free version, right?
No.
He wants everything.
For free. He wants a code.
You can't get that.
He wants what a lot of people on my AVG videos on YouTube...
Right.
In the comments, there's tons of people posting, and I just leave them.
I lost the code for mine.
No, they post the code. They'll post illegal codes in my YouTube comments.
Wow.
You have not seen that? You haven't noticed that?
No. Yeah. I don't really, no.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I don't really read the comments there.
Okay, now here is, this is kind of interesting. This is February 10th from Paul in Delavan, Wisconsin. How can I force all windows to open up maximized? Every window opens in a less than maximum size. Is there a way that this annoying feature can be disabled?
Yes. Well, no.
Though there is a utility.
Yeah.
There is a utility, and I think you can find it at download.com. I'll try to find it. I've never used it because, again, you're saving a click.
Yeah, right.
One thing you can... Most programs, let me see what version of Windows he's using. I'm finding that it is working better in he's Windows 7. And it seems to work better in Windows 7 than previous versions of Windows. If you position the screen in the size that you want.
Right. Drag the corners so it's full screen.
And then click File and Close. Don't click the X. Click File and Close or File and Exit from that program. The next time you open it, that will be the new... He calls it restore down the less than maximum
size.
Now,
I heard a tip one time, too, that it seemed to work for me. I can't think of it not working, where if you hold down shift and click on the X, then that will also put in the computer's memory the position of that window when you closed it, too.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar
to you?
Sounds
somewhat familiar, yeah.
And I remember using it a lot, and I don't remember it not working, so, yeah. So
I'm going to look real quick while the...
Because they might not be able to find File Close either.
Because I know there is. In fact, I think we've talked about this on the show in the past, and there may even be a link somewhere deep on the site. It seems to happen more often than not in Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
But I'll look for that, and as we're talking, if I find that, I'll talk about it in a second. In fact, while I'm talking about it, I'm going to give you this question.
Go for it.
This one is from Tom in Roseville, California.
Okay.
Using Windows 7. Now, I'm going to go on a short rant here for a minute.
Okay.
Because Windows 7 has been out about a year.
Yes.
Vista has been out 4 years now, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
I think four years now.
Uh-huh.
Both of which were supposed to be safer than XP.
Right.
Both are proving to be no safer than XP.
Right.
I'm seeing as many, and if not, I'm starting to see an actual ramp up of problems on Windows 7. I might even be able to extrapolate and say a little bit more than I saw in Vista. Now, there is an increasing amount of this junk out there in general.
You're talking about spyware and malware stuff? Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it is not limited to Windows XP. It's across the board on Windows.
Right, right.
And there was something that came up this past week on Apple. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
But I continue to be more and more impressed with Mac. I'm enjoying the Mac. But of Linux.
Yeah.
And particularly Linux Mint. And if there's one version that I'm kind of standardizing on, it's Linux Mint, because it is fast, it comes complete, you don't have to do a lot of extra stuff after you install it.
Right.
And it's very familiar for people that were Windows users. And in fact, do you remember our old friend Zonbu?
Uh-huh.
Remember that Zonbu company?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I have a woman that's still using her Zonbu laptop.
Yeah.
And she, at our recommendation, 5 years ago,
yeah,
I think
it was something like that.
Yeah, 4.5 years ago, she bought a Zonbu laptop,
right?
$199, and that was unheard of at the time,
right?
Now she did have to pay a $20 a month charge for a year,
right?
Or yeah, I think it was $20,
yeah,
per month. And during that year, she got free support. They did upgrades. The idea of the Zonbu laptop, it was a very customized version of Ubuntu. And the idea was they were going to pretty much give away the laptops, kind of what's happening today with cell phone laptops, but they were going to constantly give you support and updating, as well as they were one of the first to give you cloud storage.
Right.
And that was kind of the whole selling point of buying that cheap computer. Well, about two and a half years later, the model just didn't pan out. People aren't willing to make that move to a new operating system.
Right.
But anyway, here we are almost 4 years later that she's had this laptop. She has used it all over the world, mostly trouble-free.
Yeah.
The wireless on this was a little funky because at that time, Ubuntu wireless was not very stable and not very easy. So finally, Zonbu gave up the ghost, and they're not doing the updates automatically. And so some of the software is getting old. It's still using a real early version of Firefox and all those things. So she's starting to have little glitches that have come up. So I told her, I said, well, let's put another version of Linux on it.
Uh-huh.
And she was real worried. She didn't want to put Windows on it.
Right.
She looks at all of her friends and her family, and she's always hearing about problems they're having.
Yeah.
And she's never had a single problem that these other folks are having.
Right.
So she's been extremely pleased. So last night, I happened to have an extra 512 meg
flash
RAM.
Oh, okay.
RAM, and she had 512 on it. That's what this little Zonbu came.
Uh-huh.
So I put it in there, and so she has a gig of RAM now, and I put Linux Mint.
Yep.
Linux Mint installed in about 18 minutes.
Wow.
And that's with the updates, because I had it plugged into Ethernet as I was going. Try doing that with Windows, for goodness sakes.
No kidding.
And not get a virus or something. But anyway, and it's running like a top. It is so cool just to see that.
Wow.
Here I have my Office. I've got my web browser.
Yep.
It's got all the plugins because it does that automatically for you, the Flash and Java and all that good stuff.
Wow.
And now she has basically a new, quote unquote, computer.
Yeah.
For just a short amount of time invested.
Yep.
But anyway, I digress.
Very cool.
I'm going to give you this question.
Okay, go for it.
This is from Tom in Roseville, California.
Okay.
He's trying to find a way to get rid of PC Security 2011.
Oh, jeez.
He has ESET Smart Security 4, and it is not detecting it.
Of course it's not. All right. First of all, easiest way. Well, see, I don't know. You're using a bunch of different tools than I do.
Not really.
There's two tools. There's two tools for getting rid of this stuff that I would recommend. One is, what is it? Malware Bytes. Is that right?
Yes.
Malware Bytes. I just wanted to make sure that that's still the name of it, because these companies get bought out and transfer. And I'm always afraid McAfee's going to buy those guys, and I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, McAfee's been sold to Intel.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. They're still bad. but anyway, Malware Bytes and Bytes is spelled BYTES. I'm always afraid to tell people to just Google it, because you don't know what they're going to end up.
Go to our website.
Go to helpmerick.com. Yeah,
it's right there.
Go to helpmerick.com.
There's a video showing you how to do it.
There you go. Yeah, helpmerick.com, and look for that. It's in our links. Is that where it's at?
Yes.
In the links area at the far right corner of the website. You'll see it there. Far left corner of helpmerick.com. The other tool that you'll want is called CombiFix, CombiFix. And that
Which CombiFix, doesn't work on Windows 7.
It does.
No.
I've used it on Windows 7.
Have you used it?
Yeah.
All right.
The new versions
do. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
So try it and see. If it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But I've used it on Windows 7 a couple times. So CombiFix, download that, run that, see if it works. If that doesn't work still, what other tools do you use?
Those are the two biggies, Malwarebytes and CombiFix. I have found that CombiFix does tell you, please uninstall your antivirus.
Right.
And if you can get to that, that's a good thing to do, because I do find that it does a little more thorough job if the antivirus is out of there.
Right.
So I hate doing that, because then it's an extra step I have to do afterwards.
Sure.
But it does seem to help. With this particular virus and a lot of these new viruses and malware, it seems to be that a lot of folks are getting overtaken with a screen that won't let them do anything.
Okay.
In regular mode.
Right. Right.
So oftentimes you need to boot into safe mode with networking.
Yep.
And that will do it.
Yeah. And there's really a whole bunch of extra little tools that you may end up, I mean, that's really where a computer guy comes in handy to do that stuff, because there are tons of tools. I know that the Revo uninstaller is one that I would use a lot to shut down processes. There's all sorts of different little tools that you might have to use, but those are the two for getting rid of it. And then as far as your antivirus goes, you can keep the antivirus you're using. I don't know that any antivirus is going to do that much better of a job, but I know that the Windows Security Essentials on Windows 7 runs really well, and it does seem to catch a lot of stuff. So you can try that. But again, these new malware programs are actually designed to trick your antivirus into thinking that you gave the program permission to install.
Right.
And any program you give permission to install, the antivirus isn't even going to catch. It's going to go right through it. So,
because you're the administrator.
Because you're the one who gave it permission. And if it wasn't that way, then that means that when you went to install Microsoft Office, your antivirus could keep you from doing it. And so, you know, you have the ultimate authority on that. And that's what these programs do. It's a combination of, the virus application where it goes in and takes over your computer. But the other part of it is a social engineering trick in a lot of cases, to where they trick you into thinking it's something normal to do. So you might get something that pops up that says, would you like to run a free scan? Or we detect that your computer might be infected. Do you want to scan? Or something like that. And you might, you click yes. That's the part that tells your antivirus, okay,
he's given
permission, so take over. And after that, there's really nothing your antivirus can do about it, because it's been told that you gave it permission.
Very good. Well, and as you were explaining all that, I did find that little program, and it's called AutoSizer. And it comes from a company called South Bay Software. It's a very small utility. Runs in Windows 7.
Freebie. Good deal.
He said that the new version improves compatibility with 64-bit versions.
Good.
But the current version works best for 32-bit versions of 7, Vista, and XP.
Cool.
So go ahead and give that a try, and hopefully that will help you out with our previous question. All right, last question that we're going to talk about before we go do a little bit more news and then wrap it up, Mr. Adam.
Okay.
Is from Fred, who used to live in Grand Junction, now lives in Lubbock.
Okay.
He just installed a Samsung Blu-ray disc player with Pandora, etc. Does that connection need some type of internet security? Not currently.
Yeah.
So these Blu-ray things are basically, aren't there a lot of them running a real thin version of Linux?
Yeah.
Aren't they? A lot of these players.
A lot of these things run on. I don't know of any other operating system. They might run on QNX or something like that.
That's what
like
I was
that,
wondering
but,
if they might do in that. But neither of which need antivirus at this time.
Right.
So the answer is no. You should be okay.
Right. And the nice part is it doesn't, you pretty much don't need antivirus on anything that doesn't allow you to install stuff. And so, you know, Blu-ray players that you can install the little apps in some cases, but
which are just usually web.
But you're
things.
Not, yeah. There's at the moment, I think we're a long ways away from needing an antivirus on any of those things.
I hope so. Yeah. I really hope so.
Yeah.
So all right. What else newsworthy this week, Mr. Adam? We've covered quite a bit of news
stuff. Yeah, I think
we've
covered quite a bit, and we're actually an hour into the podcast. So
are we an hour already?
We are.
Oh, I did put the, I told you I put that link on the website.
Yes.
So folks can check that out.
Yeah, the you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Let's see. Well, yeah, you know, I'm not seeing BlackBerry Messenger is coming to Android and iOS. That's kind of a big deal, bringing in BlackBerry people to the other operating systems. Let's see. Oh, here's something interesting. Not to bring back too much iPad 2 stuff.
No, that's okay.
But the iPad 2 at launch will be available at Best Buy, Walmart, and Sam's Club. And it hasn't been available at Sam's Club in the past.
So. On the 11th?
On the 11th. That's what it says. It says at launch. So
wow. That's very good.
Yeah.
I noticed that the launch on next Friday isn't until 5 p.m.
Yeah, I think that's so they can build big lines. Don't you?
Maybe.
So like, we don't open until 5. That gives people plenty of time to get.
They don't have to spend the night.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But it's photo op time, I think, is all that is.
Oh, I know, because we were talking about tablets in general. Okay,
yes.
The Galaxy Tab has been out there for 4 or 5 months.
Right.
Right? And then now the next thing that just got released in the last couple of weeks is the Zoom,
right.
Motorola Zoom.
Yep.
At the rock bottom price of $699.
Is it $699 or $799?
It might be.
I think it's
$799. It's exorbitant. Whatever it is, it's exorbitant.
Yes.
Now that the iPad 2 has finally been released and we can actually see really what it is. And then the other thing that hasn't been released yet, but there's now rumors that the CES showed around the BlackBerry showed around the, or what they call Research in Motion, RIM, showed their playbook. And they're talking that maybe that'll be released in April, but that's just a rumor. Do any of these other devices really matter? Oh,
$799.
But you can get it $600 for Wi-Fi.
If you do your two-year the Wi-Fi only, but though, from what I understand, there isn't a Wi-Fi only Android tablet out yet.
Okay.
They're still coming out later, I think. It might be out, but from what I think it's a lot like the...
Have you gone to Verizon and looked at this yet?
I haven't. Joel played with it, he said it was pretty. He liked it. It's a lot more 16:9 than the iPad, a lot more longer.
Uh-huh.
A lot longer. That sounds horrible. A lot longer. A lot more. I was going to say a lot more, and then I realized longer was the word I really wanted. So,
anyway. But now, what do you think? Are these other people still playing catch-up, or are we truly seeing devices that are... Or at the price point, are they irrelevant?
See, that's the problem. At the price point, they're irrelevant. I think that if this would have been a $499 or a $599 device to compete with the iPad, it does have flash. It has a very nice camera. It runs Android, which means it's hackable legally for the most part. I mean, you know, you're not going to run into too many problems there with it. There's all kinds of cool stuff with an Android tablet. But the price point has to come down. They have to find a way to lower it without subsidies. Subsidies are the worst part of this, to where you have to, you know, get the 2-year subscription to something. Nobody would commit to a tablet for 2 years when there's been 2 iPads in 2 years.
In less than a year.
Less than a year. So, and there's always a new one coming out. Nobody's going to spend that kind of money. I would say that, you know, if it was really nice and it did everything you wanted it to, then it might be worth $499 or maybe even $599 if it had a lot of memory. But there's just so many disadvantages to it right now for that price point.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Since we're talking price point and tablets.
Yes.
You've been using your iPad for couple of months now?
Yeah. 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 2 months.
A good couple of months.
Yeah.
So you've, and you use your technology to, yeah, to the hilt. You right. really do explore it and sure. use it. Are tablets worth that much money? Do you really feel that they're worth more than an average laptop today?
I don't know if they're worth more, but there is worth, I think they're, I mean, I think they're worth
the value,
as much.
Is the value.
Okay. If I had a $699 laptop mm-hmm. and a $699 tablet, mm-hmm. I probably would choose the tablet okay. over the laptop. But if I had a $349 laptop yeah. and a $349 tablet, I would probably choose the laptop.
No, and why is
what
that?
I mean by that is that with a laptop, you get a lot more value out of it because you have the keyboard, you have the DVD drive, you have all these extra things in it. So it's so much more usable. For $349, you get a heck of a laptop. You know, really, you get mm-hmm. a lot of feature to it. But you don't get, when you get a tablet and you pay, like, for example, the Nook Color is an Android tablet, basically. If you get that, that's $249. Mm-hmm. But there's so many things it doesn't do. But if I go to a $699 one, like the Motorola Zoom, I get a digital camera. I get removable memory. I get all these different advantages to it. And that means I don't have to carry my portable DVD drives in my car when I want to watch movies. They're all on there. There's all sorts of stuff you can do with it mm-hmm. that makes it more valuable and less clunky than a laptop. So it actually has, it's more of a value to me okay. than a laptop would
so
be.
So you're
that
saying
price.
That overall...
Sorry. Yes.
You're saying that overall that there is justification for the price point that we're seeing tablets at.
Yeah. Yeah, I think overall. But the problem is Apple is setting the standard.
Well, that's
not
what's
Motorola.
That's what I was just going to say. That's what's really odd is that Apple normally is the premium yeah. in the market.
Right.
And all of a sudden they're the value in the market.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But as well as still producing arguably the better product. Sorry. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, they you know that it's true, and Steve Jobs pointed that out. He said that they only have one model that's more than $700.
Right.
And everybody's producing over $700 Android devices. Nobody can really offer the same value for the same price.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And the other thing too is performance. Is Apple, since it fuses everything together on the inside of that device, I don't know if you'll be able to get the same performance out of an Android device that you can get from an Apple. I mean, Apple is so quick and responsive with their iPad. I haven't seen that yet in any of the tablets that I've worked with.
And now with faster processors, it's even more responsive.
With a dual core processor, it's going to be even faster. Yeah.
Crazy. There's one other thing that as we were talking there, I thought about. Oh, kind of technology related and movie related. We have two Blockbusters in our city.
Right.
One of them is closing. Did you hear that?
Two?
Yeah, we have two. The one out by the Redlands, by Albertsons and the Redlands.
I didn't know.
On Broadway.
I didn't know there was a Blockbuster there. Okay. Well,
that's probably why it's closing.
Okay.
Yeah, you know where Albertsons is right there?
I didn't know there's a Blockbuster there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the corner. It's been there for years.
I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Well, but you don't live on that side of town.
I never go to I've been to Blockbuster maybe once.
I have.
In my life.
Oh, ever in your life?
Yeah.
Your whole life?
I do not rent movies by the week. I rent movies by the day. So I've always been a Hastings guy or a...
Well, then Redbox in
Redbox,
the last 4 or 5 years, three or four years.
Redbox is incredible, yeah. So I just do not rent movies by the week.
Okay.
I hate spending $5 for a movie. I'm going to watch it for 2 hours.
Right.
And then return the next day, that's stupid. Because if you wait it out,
right?
Usually in the matter of a month, those movies are going to be $4.99 on the clearance shelf, you know, pre-rental or whatever at some of the other places. So it's a waste of my money.
Yeah, there was one on the red. It's closing.
Yes.
I got to believe the one that's on our other main one on Patterson's going to be closing.
Yeah.
I mean, really, Blockbuster is old technology.
Yeah, it is.
Now, speaking of Redbox, that's another news item that had come up since we've been our last podcast,
right.
is that they're in talks right now with Amazon and one other person.
Walmart, maybe? Is that who it was?
I've forgotten.
Don't know who it was.
But to possibly do some online streaming.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is that now, in addition to that, Amazon now.
That's right.
If you're with their $79, I think it is.
Per year.
Premium, per year. Premium subscribers.
Prime. I think they call it Prime.
Whatever it is. Pay $79 per year, and you get free shipping on all your orders.
Next day shipping.
Yeah, it gives you some really cool advantages if you're an Amazon customer. But now they're adding to that 5,000 movies and TV shows, which right. isn't anywhere near the selection you get on Netflix, but it still is a, you know, it still is one more avenue.
But it's growing also.
Oh yeah.
And I found that many of the more current things that I might want to see on demand
uh-huh.
are available on Amazon, but not on Netflix.
Right.
So it's become one of those things again that, you know, where do you put your money?
Well, yeah. And I think more and more people that are going to start saying, why am I paying $120 a month for cable?
Oh, and by God, you shouldn't.
If I could be paying, you know, $79 a year plus $20 or no, plus $8 for Netflix.
Or get a Roku box or a Boxy box or one of those.
That's what I'm saying. Get one of these. And then even if you went to the Hulu route, which is, what is it?
14?
It's 14 or 12, something like that, per month. Even if you pay for all of those things, you go for every subscription service you can, you're still going to end up paying
far under
a third the price of what you'd pay for a $100 cable.
Hulu Plus is $7.99 a month.
Okay, $7.99 a month for Hulu Plus. So if you were to pay for all those different things, you'd still be running probably right around $30 a month.
And you can do Hulu Plus on your iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, Hulu Plus on the iPad. You can also do it on, well, you've done a lot of things. You can't do it on Xbox yet, but that'll probably come.
Yeah, Hulu is mostly NBC, ABC.
It's not CBS, is it?
CBS is the only one.
CBS is their own thing. They're TV.com.
Right. CBS is the only one that you can't do yet on Hulu.
But TV.com has its, you know, it's they're working on an app for iPad. And they have.
And then there's always BitTorrent.
Yeah.
Which works. It does work. And I will say, though, if you're going to be a BitTorrenter, that's where Linux is very nice.
Yes.
Because you are going to find garbage at BitTorrent.
You will. You'll get all kinds of good viruses there, too.
So TV.com also has Fox.
It does?
Yeah. They just had an ad right here on the TV.
Interesting.
For
I didn't know that. They're owned by CBS. That's why I wondered.
But they had, who's the doctor on Fox?
House.
Yeah. They just had a thing for that.
Okay.
Where's Smallville? That's on another.
Smallville is WB, I think.
See, that they're advertising that as well.
Okay. I'm not sure. So
they're doing a few. Oh, 2.5 Men's there.
Oh, good. Well,
we'll end our show. We'll end our show with what we, we talked about at the beginning of the show. Charlie Sheen.
Yep. We have mentioned him now. There we go.
Okay. And Glee. Glee is on here, too.
Yeah.
And Glee is Fox.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Glee's there we Fox. Go. But I saw Glee on Hulu also.
Yeah.
Glee's a big popular thing at the
Fox
moment.
Fox, in general, just because it's Murdoch and he's this way, he'll try anything for a while and see how it works, you know. And so I think that's, you know, they're a little bit more free with their content until they find something that doesn't work. And For example, the Wall Street Journal on Google or whatever. But
Mr. Adams, should we call it an episode?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was good.
I think we had a. I enjoyed getting back into the swing of things, and I'm glad things are moving in a positive direction on your end.
Yep.
And we appreciate you tuning in this week, and hopefully you'll tune in the next. We'll be on live on the radio next week, which will be today is the 3rd. Yesterday was the 2nd. It'll be the 9th. Next week, Wednesday the 9th, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time.
That's 2 weeks before iPad 2 Day. 2 days, I mean, before iPad 2
Day.
Two days.
And you can tune that in at kfmradio.org.
Yep.
Or we'll have the podcast up, hopefully, this time. Our recording didn't work last time, but we'll try to get that working.
It didn't work.
Remember, we couldn't get it recorded on our last show. Remember, we played it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I do remember that.
On the noon show.
Anyway.
So have a great week or weekend or evening or morning or wherever you happen to be at this moment in time. And thanks for using this time to produce your own wormhole to us. And you can find me at helpmerick.com and Adam at talkingdigital.com. Have a great day.